What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Kick back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Welcome back to another episode of the Rec Show Podcast. Yeah, this is a podcast for beatmakers, man. You know, that's what we do on this podcast, man. So if y'all enjoying this, go ahead and subscribe right now. Follow on your favorite, you know, podcast, digital streaming platform. Follow on Bandcamp. You know what I mean? And, yeah, that's how we're going to do it, man. But, yo, last week was dope. This week was dope. You know what I mean? The UFC, Kamaru Usman, versus Rocky Edwards fight. Yo, crazy, man. His shot was crazy. But shout out to Rocky, man. And, yo, man, I love UFC. I love boxing. I love basketball, yo. So that's what you're going to get from the themes of my show whenever you, tap in. You feel me? So, but, yo, we are going all the way to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, all right, to chop it up with a beatmaker that's been in the game for about 10 years now, killing it. I mean, he loves wrestling, he loves anime, you know what I mean? He's an OG, man, so we're going to talk to the one and only Takedown, all right? Y'all give it up for Takedown. We're going to hear his music, we're going to chop it up with him. You know what I mean? Get a deeper sense of who he is, where he comes from, his music journey. And that's how we're going to do it today. So, yo, kick back, relax, smoke them if you got them. You know, throw this on while you're on the plane, train, automobile. You know what I mean? While you biking, while you walking, skateboarding, any of that stuff, all right? And, yeah, we're going to be back, man. So, peace and love, yo.
Yo, this is Takedown, and you're now tuned into the Rec Show Podcast with Golden Mind.
back. Again, this is episode number 61 of the Rec Show Podcast. We are chopping it up with Takedown from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Yo, so Takedown, welcome to the show, man. And just give a quick introduction of, you know, who you are, what your name is, how your name is created. You know what I mean? Any collectives that you might be associated with as well, if you can, man.
Well, what's up, man? My name is Brendan. I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I make beats under the name Takedown. I'm going to be honest, I don't really remember how I came up with it, but I've been using it for a minute now, so we're here. We're stuck with it. I've been making beats since I was 16. I turned 27 in May, so that's... Ah, damn, that's 11 years. That's a long time. I don't think I'm currently affiliated with, like, a collective or anything like that right now, but shout out to everyone from Dust Era back in the day on SoundCloud. Shout out Man Fuji Tapes for putting out my Soul Restoration tape so many years ago. Shout out my guy Simon Something and his collective Vacation Pay. Like, I've been blessed to meet a lot of cool people throughout this whole music thing.
Yeah, man. Some people can't remember, you know, how they came up with their names. It's cool, man, but it's a dope name, though. You know what I mean? I always remember the dot after it. So Jomie Beats got a period after his, but then you also have a period after yours. So I'm always, like, wondering about, like, how people come up with their names and stuff like that. But yo, let's get into it, man. So how did you begin your, like, journey into music and, you know, beat making and then and sampling and stuff like that? And then, what instruments are you trained on, if you're trained on any? I mean, some people are just trained by ear. Use every day over and over again, and some people are classically trained on, like, piano or, you know, bass or violin, you know, something like that. So, you know, that's just a intriguing question for me.
Well, my journey as far as, like, music and whatnot really started off with rapping, like, back when we were, like, maybe, like, 14, 15, like, a friend of mine and me, like, really wanted to rap, like, we really liked it, so we tried to rap, and I thought we were okay at it, but, like, we also didn't have beats, you know? So that was a time where, like, I'm not even sure if you could still do this, but, like, you could go on websites and, like, producers would put up free beats, but, like, the tags would be, like, they have producer tags every four beats, and it's just like, man, we're not trying to rap over that, you know? Like, it doesn't sound good. So I was like, I bet I'm gonna figure out how to make beats. And they sounded awful at first. Trash juice, just garbage. But after a while, I started getting used to it, started getting the hang of it, started figuring out how to make stuff that I liked. And I kind of forgot about rapping after a while. I just really liked making beats. So yeah, that's how we ended up here now. As far as, like, formal music training, I don't really have any. Like, I never learned instruments growing up. I did take, like, a guitar class in high school, but, like, I barely remember a lot of that stuff, so I really don't have any music training. Like, I always joke that I don't have any idea what I'm doing, but I know if it sounds good, and if it sounds good, it's good to me. So, yeah, I don't really know that much about music. Like, technically. I know about music. I don't know about the technical side of music.
So, yo, who in your family, like, exposed you to the different genres of music as you were growing up? Because, you know, everybody has somebody that was blasting something either around the house or they were, like, you know, in the car blasting whatever type of genre they were. And, you know, as a kid, you're just soaking it up and you're like, yo, this is the best thing ever, you know? So, like, who did that for you, man?
Growing up, as far as, like, being exposed to music and listening to it, a lot of that was my dad. Like, growing up in a Guyanese household, like, an Indo-Caribbean household, we listen to, like, now I think about it, it's a really interesting mix of music. It's a lot of roots reggae, so, like, obviously you got Bob Marley and the Wailers, you got a lot of a lot of Jimmy Cliff, a lot of country gospel, so that's Charlie Pride, some, like, Jim Reeves, and, like, a lot of old Bollywood music from, like, old movies and stuff. It's like, yeah, a lot of that is something I didn't really appreciate when I was growing up, but I was actually having a conversation with the homie today about this. Like, now that I'm older, like, I really appreciate those kinds of music, and especially as a beat maker and like looking for samples and stuff. Like, there's some crazy stuff in some of the stuff that my dad listened to back in the day, especially like the old Bollywood music. That stuff, samples for days.
Shout out to your pops, you know what I mean, for you know, putting you on to the, you know, the Bollywood and you know, country gospel, like all of those different, the reggae, you know what I mean? Yo, I didn't know that you were, you know, growing up in a Guyanese household, but it's like every household is like, no household is the same, man. That's the great thing about music, man, because different types of music, you know, like infect in a good way, everybody, man. So, yo, shout out to your pops. I don't know your pops' name, but yo, if your pops is listening to this podcast, yo, much respect to you for exposing your son to what you enjoyed growing up and what you enjoyed in your life, and then your son, you know, just took it on and is using it as his experience into creating his own music. Right, so now you can bump your son's music, you know what I mean? You can hear a little bit of those influences and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, yo, shout out to you, man. Yo, man, so listen, yo, what's the one moment that sparked your interest in creating your own beats? And then, you know, when did you know it was time for the internets to hear your beats? All right, that's it. That's a critical question, because not everybody feels comfortable putting their music out for the world to, you know, like, enjoy or dissect or, you know, be critical of and stuff like that. So,
yeah, like I said before, like, wanting to, like, make beats so that me and my homie could rap over was really when I wanted to start making beats. As far as, like, sharing them, like, I think I shared them a little bit, but, like, probably put together like 4 or 5 beat tapes that like no one really listened to, but they were just for me. But like, man, there's maybe like 50 tracks between those 5, and like there's maybe like 4 or 5 that I considered like stuff that I would maybe listen to today. But yeah, most of it was bad, but I'm getting better. I'm all right now. As far as like currently sharing stuff, so me and my fam were actually on a family trip back home to Guyana, and I get bored when we weren't doing stuff, so like I'd just be on my laptop like making beats, messing around and stuff. And that's when I really started getting deep on SoundCloud. And on SoundCloud they had these things called SoundCloud groups at the time, which low-key I'm still kind of heated that they don't have them anymore, because it makes it so much harder to like create community with people online, you know. So my big ones were the Lo-Fi Hip Hop groups and the Adult Swim Bumps group. And they had like just these guys I'd never heard of making some of the craziest beats I'd ever heard in my life. So like, and guys like, they still inspire me to this day. You got guys like Al Dali, who's still making heat, Jay Alpha still making heat, Alan Analog, I don't know where he is, but I hope he's good. He's still making heat. I hope he's still making heat. Stan the Beat Smith still making heat. Like a lot of these guys are still doing it to this day, and I don't think they get the fair shake because they're not like the Spotify playlist guys. But like, yo, if you've never heard of them, you got to go look them up. They're really, to me, what lo-fi hip-hop really was supposed to be, I guess.
Y'all heard, yo, everybody that he named right now, y'all go look up, man. And I'ma definitely look up and follow on their social medias if they got Instagram or Twitter. But yeah, man, like, yo, you definitely got better, yo. Now you can go front. Like, I'm listening to your discography, the very first album, you know, just trying to decide which songs to put on the show. And I can definitely hear the growth and the technique changing and stuff like that. So, yeah, you definitely got better, my G. No worries. So, like, can you name, like, and I know it's going to be hard, but, yo, can you name one beat that comes to mind as the, you know, the greatest beat of all time? And, like, you know, what beat maker or what music producer created and flipped that beat into something crazy? And it's gonna be hard. It's so many songs out there, so many beats that you know, people haven't created. I know it's gonna be one of those complicated questions, but try and answer it as best you can. You feel me?
I don't know if I can like pick one beat that to call the greatest of all time. You know, like, and when I think of beats, I don't really judge them by like technical greatness. You know, like if I hear the original sample and then I hear the beat, like it could be cool. Like I could really appreciate how someone chopped something up, but like, I don't know, man. Like, technical prowess is underneath, like, how a beat makes me feel, you know? Like, at the end of the day, the beat is art, and what art's supposed to do is make you feel something. So, like, I don't care if it's got, like, 300 chops and, like, 5 different sample sources, like, you synthesize the drums by yourself in a cave. Like, I don't care about all that. If it sounds good, it sounds good. So, to me, like, the greatest all-time beat is one that makes you feel. And especially if you can do it by itself. It doesn't even need vocals or nothing on it. That's golden to me. So, like, if I got it, I can't even just pick one, honestly. I'm going to go with two. So, Time and Donut the Heart by Dilla. Okay. And Practice by Madlib. Both those beats are perfect to me. They make you feel some type of way every time I hear them. Every single time. And I guess technically, especially the Dilla one, because you know that's a Jackson 5 sample, and that joint is like, you know the sample, and you still, to me, the Dilla one feels like so different, you know? And like all the little drops, all the little time stretches, they're all in like the perfect place. Like everything is in its right place. It's all, I hesitate to call a Dilla beat simple, but like, simplicity is key, and I think it doesn't do too much, I guess I would say. Not that it's simple, but it does what it needs to do, and it doesn't go over the top, you know? And same thing with Practice by Madlib. Like, that joint is largely just the prettiest loop I heard, and especially with Freddie Gibbs rapping over it, like, but especially by itself, too, like, just beautiful, front to back.
Yo, the smoke and mirrors, cloud our judgments, comparisons, forces to compete. I agree, I've been trying to be the man I'm supposed to be, but negativity is all I seem to ever see. And this year I ain't been stranger to defeat. Running from my problems, but now they resting at my feet. Bringing my spirit to the light, my thoughts obsolete. Shadow boxing with my demons so I can get back to me. Gave myself room to grow when I rose from the concrete. So in order for me to grow, being uncomfortable was necessary. Scared of change, accustomed to my life being stationary. Only time success comes before work is in a dictionary. Putting in overtime, getting off, I see the mortuary. Gotta get it by any means before my day is done. Striving to be great in a world that ain't been built for us. Rising like the phoenix from the demons of a love undone. Chose to be a better man for obstacles I overcome. Lost the love of my girl, but gained it back in myself. Happiness starts from within, that's the true meaning of wealth. Trusting in my process, taking steps to progress. Living inside the moment, searching for my keys to success. But I'm still focused on the next. My Virgo nature got me overthinking, causing me to stress. Knowing the only thing I'm guaranteed out of life is death. Make the rules to break the rules, cause I'm better than the rest. I'm just trying to free my mind. It don't make money or help me grow, then it's a waste of time. It's all smoke and mirrors, gotta read between the lines. Life is pain, keep your head up and stay on your grind. Yeah, I'm just trying to free my mind. It don't make money or help me grow, then it's a waste of time. It's all smoke and mirrors, gotta read between the lines. Life is pain, keep your head up and stay on your grind.
Listen.
mean, you definitely can't go wrong with, you know, Madlib, J Dilla, you know what I mean, James DeWitt, Yanty, man. You can't go wrong with either one of those, man. So, oh man, good picks for that question, man. Yo, like, I know you've been in the game for about maybe 10 years. Can you name some, like, and I know you, like, seen some things that, like, definitely opened your mind to, like, different ways to create music and why to create music and soundscapes and techniques and stuff like that. So can you name or can you recommend some must-see, read or listen to content for my listeners, you know what I mean, that may be on their journey in beats and music? And keep in mind, like, it could be a movie, it could be a documentary, a book, a YouTube tutorial, or a podcast such as this, man. You know, let the people know, like, where you got the most inspiration to create beats or music, you know.
Well, if you got Netflix, you for sure gotta peep Hip Hop Evolution with Shad. There's like, I feel like there's like 4 seasons. And yeah, so if you don't know who Shad is like probably one of the best Canadian rappers of all time. Like on a backpack tip, like, I guess if we gotta include Drake, but like on like the real hip hop rapping type stuff, Shad is the best. He's been doing it forever. He's so good. So he's got the colors, he's got the credentials to go around interviewing all these hip hop legends and these people affiliated with these legends. And this docuseries is done so well. It's such a great introduction to hip hop and the history of it. I definitely think everyone should peep that. Another, like, for going like deeper into like the nerdy type hole, I gotta go like YG's Blink 47 Dilla Break series on YouTube. That's like required viewing to me, like hearing like all those guys like Rev Shines, House Shoes, all of them talking about like the sample sources that Dilla used and like their stories about Dilla, how the beats made them feel, how Dilla made them feel. Like, this is crazy to watch, and it's so good to actually hear it from people that knew him and not just like random hearsay on the internet, you know. Obviously we've turned Dilla into like this folk hero that like is larger than life, but like he was just a dude with friends who like are still alive to this day that we can talk to and ask about. So I think that's a really cool thing to have. Another one is Our Beats Weigh a Ton by Stone Throw. Let me make sure I got that right, actually. Our Beats Weigh a Ton. I'm doing research as we talk. Our Vinyl Weighs a Ton. That's what it's called. Damn it. Okay, I was close. But yeah, Our Vinyl Weighs a Ton by Stone Throw. It really goes through the story of Stone Throw Records. So you got Peanut Butter Wolf and his homie. You got Dilla, obviously. But I think my favorite part was the Mad Villain one. Hearing just like Madlib and Doom talk about like, hey, like, we just got together and did this album, like, which I feel is really how, like, that's the purest form of art. Just like getting together with your homie and being like, let's put something together, man. Let's do it. And then they did it, and it turned out to be like a legendary classic, you know. There's this YouTube channel I used to watch forever ago. I think my man's went radio silent. He has a good job, so I'm assuming he's off doing that or just got bored. But it's called Reconstructing Hip Hop. So this dude would just, like, old head dude would just talk about beats he liked, and he would recreate them in like Machine. And it was super useful for me coming up. Like, I'd hear these beats, like, he would redo They Reminisce Over You by Pete Rock. I know we did Shook Ones Part 2 by Mobb Deep. And he would like break down the sample sources, he would break down the drums, the bass lines, the techniques, like filter bass line techniques and things like that. And like, guy had such a great grasp of what was going on while still being able to explain it to someone who didn't fully, like, I didn't have the same kind of knowledge that I do now, but I understood it the same way now that I did back then, you know. Like, he could explain this to anybody and you get what's going on. And as far as books, I've been meaning to pick up that Dilla Time book for so long, but I got this 33 and a Third series book about Dilla Donuts, and it is incredible. It's called Donuts by It's called Donuts by Jordan Ferguson, and I think it's great.
Awesome. Yo, all of everything that that Takedown is recommending, I'm definitely going to put the links to in the description of the show. So just look below inside the description. All right. And yo, all good recommendations, man. I got the dough time, so I'm trying to finish a couple other books before I get to that one. But yo, that 33 and a third, I definitely watched the hip hop evolution on Netflix, like, I don't know, man, like 5-6 times already. Before I had to cut off Netflix, because you know they keep increasing them prices, you know. You know what I mean? Anyway, yo, man, so that brings me to my next question, which is, you know, like, what musical equipment do you use, or digital audio workstations, DAWs, do you use to create your beats? And, you know, because, you know, some pieces are more important than others. So I'm just trying to, you know, everybody makes music with something different. So, you know, what do you make music with?
As far as what I use, primarily, I've used FL Studio with some kind of MIDI controller, like Akai MPD32 or my Machinima 2 for a lot of my beats. And then, like, I'm normally running through the SP404, not even for effects, but just, like, I feel like it, the 404 gives it some kind of vibe. I could be wrong. Like, I could, like, on a technical level, it might not do anything at all. But I don't know. It's a feeling I have. Recently, I bought an MPC 1000 and SP505. So I'm really, and I have a Tascam Porta Studio right here, like a little tape recorder. So I'm really trying to learn how to do everything DAW-less. So like, make a beat on the MP, compress it using the and effects and whatnot, using the 505 and the 404, and then bounce it out to this Tascam here. So then I could just make beats like that. It's definitely a bit of a learning curve. Doesn't help that my MP is, like, the memory cards are just bugging all the time, but it's been a really fun process. As far as my most important one, this is going to be sentimental, but it's probably my Akai MPD32, because it's probably, like, by far the least impressive piece of gear that I have. But my parents got it for me for my 18th birthday, and because of that, like, that means a lot to me. So I use it all the time still.
Yeah, so shout out to your mom and dad for grabbing that MPD 32 for you, because I know I have one that's sentimental to me, man. My little sister got me a keyboard. It was like a Oasis or a Casio keyboard. It's got the pads on it and stuff like that, but I still got that joint just because, you know what I mean, she saw me trying to do something. I was doing it on GarageBand, and she was like, you know, let me get this for his birthday. Boom. So I'm keeping that. So shout out to Jesse for giving me that and giving me my first piece of equipment that I've accumulated. But yo, all good. Yo, you went back to the MPC 1000, man. Yo, with the disc, floppy disk. Yo, that's complicated, but I know you're getting some funky sounds, man. Some good like crispy, like dirty textures from, you know, like your 404, your 505. Like, I know you're getting dirty textures from all of that, so shout out to you, man, for doing that. And you know what I mean, that brings me to my next question, which is, you know, I know you like wrestling and anime, manga. It's like, so what are some, like, dope anime or some wrestling associations that help you get in the mood to create your beats? You know what I mean? What's some anime, some must-see anime or manga or wrestling that we should check out? You know what I mean?
Man, as far as wrestling goes, my two favorite, like, organizations to watch for, like, actual, like, wrestling are All Japan Wrestling and All Japan Women's. Like, especially in the 90s. In the 90s, they were putting out, like, crazy matches on, like, I feel like a monthly basis. I'm pretty sure they ran monthly, at least. But, man, them dudes and them girls was just beating the hell out of each other. And that's what I want to see. I want to see people beating each other up. I know, like, a lot of people, when they think of pro wrestling, they think of, like, The Undertaker, like, doing the crazy long walk to the ring, or, like, they think of The Rock and like telling people to shut up, and like that stuff's awesome, and I still love that stuff. Like I still keep up with like modern WWE, I keep up with AEW and all that, but like nothing beats Japanese people in the 90s beating each other up. I love it, I love it, I love it. It always puts me in a mood, always gives me a kind of vibe. I love it. As far as anime, it really depends on your taste, man. Like, if I had to put together like a general list of like things I consider must see, damn. Okay, I'm gonna go with Slam Dunk. I'm gonna go with something from a Gundam series. Megalobox, because that's something a little more recent. Evangelion. Berserk. And I gotta go Samurai Champloo. So, Slam Dunk, definitely the best sports anime I ever seen. And like, you might just think like, oh, it's just a show about basketball, but like, the character growth and development is something really interesting to see. And you don't really notice it as it's happening, I think, the first time around, because it's such a slow-paced show. Like, a lot of the 90s joints, very slow-paced, but yeah, the depth of these characters, really, it's so good. I feel like people gotta watch it. I think every anime fan's gotta try a Gundam series at least once. Like, people fighting the big robots, and there's always, like, some kind of political undertones and, like, some very, very clear racism, prejudice commentary kind of deal going on. Like, the formula works for me. The formula works for me and a lot of other people. I think you gotta try and peep one. My first one was Gundam Seed because that came on TV where I was, like, in Canada growing up. But I'd recommend, like, some of the newer ones. So, like, well, actually, no. Gundam Wing is one I'd recommend. That's older. And Iron Blooded Orphans is a newer one. I think new people definitely should peep that. It's on Netflix, on Crunchyroll, it's on all of them joints. Evangelion and Berserk are both, like, pretty dark, but they made me feel some real crazy deep feelings. It's really hard to explain. I just think people gotta watch them. Samurai Champloo and Megalobox kind of go together as well. Like, both illustrate these characters' journeys in a very, like, a pretty intimate way. So, like, you're really buying in, and by the end, you are with these characters. And both of them end super well, in my opinion. So, that also helps. And, of course, both scored by, like, crazy good Japanese beatmakers. Champloo, obviously, being done by Nuja Best, and Megalobox being scored by Babanua? Oh, man, I got that wrong. I for sure got it wrong. But he's also crazy good as a producer in his own right. I feel like he's super underrated.
Yeah, so I definitely have to... you just gave me an idea about Nuja Best. Yeah, you just gave me an idea, man. Yo, so, yeah, man. Oh, yo, I've been, actually just bought Samurai Champloo. And I'm gonna check out the other animes and mangas as well, man. So good, all good recommendations. But, yo, what's your favorite decade to sample from? I mean, like, where do you get the most inspiration from? Like what's the, you know, the decade, but also the genre of music that you enjoy sampling from, you feel like you get the most out of, because what they were doing back then was just so amazing.
As far as I don't know if I could really pick a favorite decade by itself. Like, if you made me pick one, I'd pick the 70s, because the soul and jazz that came out of there is just too strong. Like, obviously, I feel like a lot of hip-hop is built off of 70s soul, so I have to go with that. But like, it really depends on the genre for me, man. Like, 70s for soul and jazz, 80s and 90s got some crazy R&B, honestly some crazy pop too, that go hard on the samples. And like, movie and TV soundtracks from any decade, there's always something that goes super hard in those.
Yo, can you name your childhood, teenager, and adult beatmaker superheroes? You know, because I know we all have them, And then keep in mind, yo, there's no genre that's off limits. So you can go in and out of whatever genre and just pick out your superheroes in your in those phases of life, like childhood, teenager, and adulthood.
So as far as like beat making heroes, I think childhood and teenager kind of go together. So that's honestly, that's probably DJ Premier. Because I think the first time I really heard a hip-hop track and I was like, yo, what is this? Like, this is my jam. It was Moment of Truth by Gangstar. So that song is on Dave Mirra Freestyle BMX 2. And every time I heard it, I was just like, man, I don't know what this is, but, like, this goes so hard. Like, before I really even knew who Gangstar was, I memorized all the Guru's lyrics from that song. And then as I grew up and understood that Gangstar was a group and they made music, I listened to Moment of Truth, like the whole album, and I was like, yo, there's whole albums of like songs that are on the level as this. I do think the title track on Moment of Truth is the best song, but like that whole album front to back, incredible. So yeah, as a like childhood teenager, like DJ Premier was my guy and still is. Like that's a lot of where I kind of like think about my philosophy as far as like drums and stuff. Like I think his drums still are some of the best of all time. As far as an adult, I got, oh man, I got too many of the names. We're thinking Madlib. Obviously, Madlib is like, he's like simplicity personified, you know. Like he even talks about it in a lot of different areas, like in his Red Bull Academy lecture, which I should add it to the resources joint. Like you also should go watch both of those, the one in Brazil and the one up stateside. He talks about like sometimes you just gotta take a loop and dirty it up, and that's a beat. Like beats don't have to be this super complex thing, right? Like, what you're doing is you're creating a canvas for either people to listen to or for the artist to do their thing. And as such, like, you don't have to. It don't have to be rocket science. You just, yeah. If it sounds good, it sounds good. Dilla, for obvious reasons, like, guy was a wizard, and we can barely recreate the stuff that he did with, like, $1,000 computers when he did it on an MPC where you had to chop everything by hand, which still blows my mind to this day. I listen to Dilla beats and I'm like, how did you do this? Like, I can't even fathom sitting at the MP for that long enough to even get like a loop out of one of his beats done. Who else? Nujabes is another one, just because I think he is kind of like, him and Madlib both come from kind of like the school of Pete Rock, but one of them kind of emulate, like I would say Nujabes went more the route of emulating Pete Rock, like especially with like the super airy drums and like the incredible melodic sample choice. And but Madlib like kind of got more experimental with it, like after kind of the Lupac days, kind of went his own way and kind of carved his own lane. If we're going any genre, I also got to mention Liam Howlett, who makes music under the Prodigy. Like, when I tried to look up like other electronic music, like to kind of try and figure out, like when we talk about beats, like it's not just hip hop. You got like UK garage, you got house, like you got like just like, I think people just call it like electronics. So, like you got like D&B and jungle and all those kind of beats. So like I tried to find out like where to start with that. And most people I see online were like, yo, as far as like electronic albums, like The Fat of the Land by The Prodigy is like the quintessential electronic album. And I was like, okay, bet. So then I listened to it and I'm like, yo, this guy's going crazy, man. And the stuff he's doing with like primitive Roland samplers and like these joints are bangers. Like you watch videos of Prodigy concerts, there's like, you got white people doing crazy things. They're hanging off of balconies, they're jumping, they're doing flips, they got fire in their hands. It's crazy. And yeah, his work has been consistent for like probably 20 years at this point. Like, incredible production from him. Who else? Taku, who a lot of y'all might know from like Soul Action affiliated and whatnot. man, like, I remember really liking him because he was, like, a newer dude, but he was doing, like, a lot of, like very melodic beats, but, like, still, like, had very hard drums. That's something I really, really like to hear because, like, yeah, when you hear a lot of, like Spotify playlist type stuff, like, it's, like, got pretty melodies, but the drums are, like, paper thin, and you're like, ah, okay. But, like, if it's melodic and it, like, kind of touches that kind of, like, specific part of, like, your heart and soul where it, like, makes you feel things, but the drums still go hard, that's, like, my sweet spot. And then, like, I'm doing a lot more digging on Alchemist and Jake One recently. Hey. Just because, like, those guys' discographies are crazy. Great. And, like, sleeper discographies, too. Like, especially with Jake One. Jake One, like, you can go through almost any, like, major artist. And, like, Jake's got some beats for that person. And, yeah, like, and both of them are guys who kind of done well with the... I think people call them no drums, but I've definitely seen both of them kind of talk about it online and be like, it's not no drums, it's low drums. Like, it just sounds like it's just a sample chop and that's it, but they're doing some sneaky stuff. And I really appreciate that, like, especially Jake talks a lot about his production stuff through his, like, behind the beat stuff. I really appreciate that he's, like, super willing to just share stuff. Like, that's who I really appreciate that. Another one for the YouTube resources, man, I'm so bad at organizing. Yeah, Jake One's Behind the Beat. All of them, incredible. I would say my first one I watched was the Acid Rain one. And just watching how he cooked up that beat was insane. And all, even the newer ones, like he's got the John Cena beat. I actually showed to a student that I was working with the other week. And man, this guy's so good. Even just in the simple stuff.
Yo, all of the people that you named, Premier, Dilla, Alchemist has been on a crazy run. Yo, man, like, Ujibiz, like, I was in Japan for the last 4.5 years, so they definitely, like, respect them, but they respect the American hip-hop culture just a little bit more, with no disrespect to, like, Japanese artists and stuff like that. They still support their own, but they just have a love for Dilla, Primo, like, Madlib, you know, like, they just got a love for that, man. So, yo, I definitely can see why you definitely like all of these artists, these beat makers, these music producers have put in their stamp on the culture, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man. Yo, I definitely wanted to, like, I'm going through your discography for the show, your SoundCloud, your Bandcamp, which everybody should go and support on Bandcamp, all right? Show love, man. Show love on, Takedown's Bandcamp. But I wanted to highlight a couple albums like Loot Dreams and Late Night Works that you created. You know, like 2000, yeah, like maybe less than a year ago or a little bit more than a year ago, which, like, what were your inspiration behind these projects? Because when I listen to them, they come out as like an expression of emotion. You know, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So just tell us about those two albums, man, and the inspirations behind them.
Thanks, man. Like, honestly, a lot of my projects are very stream of consciousness kind of deals. Like, mostly I just make a bunch of beats. And then when I feel like I gotta put something out, I go through what I've already made, I pick out the ones that I like and the ones that go together, and those end up becoming a project. I think Loop Dreams was a little more focused because, like, for me personally, that was me kind of coming off of, like, reconciling with, like, okay, the most money to be made as far as, like, a beat maker, if, like, the easiest route to this is making those, like, kind of, like, coffee shop study beat, like, Spotify playlist kind of joints. And I tried doing that for a little bit, but then I realized that that's not really me. Even, like, I made this project called Back in the Game that, like, started off kind of trying to be those, like, Spotify playlist kind of joints, but, like, by the end, once I ended up actually liking it, it sounded more like me. Like, it's, like, a little more heavy drums, a little more heavy bass lines, a little more high tempo. So I was just like, you know, like, hey, I got to do this my way or I can't do it at all, right? So, yeah, I actually also get real heated when people talk about, like, Nujabes being the godfather of, like, those, like, wimpy kind of beats, honestly. Like, if you dig through Nujabes' discography, he's got some tough joints in there. Like, this guy's drums were cracking so often. If you listen to, like, his collaborations with, like, I think it's Funky DL, don't even try it. Ooh, that goes hard, man. That goes hard. So, like, he's got some, like, obviously some, like, slower ballad joints, but, like, my man knew what he was doing. And, like I said before, like, he clearly from the school of Pete Rock, like, there is a movement to what he's doing, even though it's very pretty. There's a lot of backbone to it, and there's a lot of movement to it. So I'm like, okay, like, are you really listening and digging in and learning from what he did if you're kind of disregarding all that? I don't know. That's me. All that to say, like, I just wanted to make Boom Bap. So that's how Loop Dreams came about. I was like, I gotta go do me.
Yeah, man, it's my pleasure, man. Like, that's just, you know, my thoughts. But, yo, man, it's time. Yo, it's time to put out some joints. Because I'll be seeing you on Instagram. Like, yo, you gotta put these joints out, man. So, you know, for the world to hear them joints, you know what I mean? But yo, man, so let's talk about like you being based out of like Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. You know, I just want to figure out, like, you know, what's the beat scene like in that specific area, you know? And then, you know, kind of like part two to this is like, how can others support you and other beat makers from that area, you know? And feel free to talk about you know, other Edmonton, Alberta, Canada beat makers or anybody in that area where you're from to be on the lookout for.
You wouldn't think it'd be super healthy in like a city like Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, but like it's actually great up here. And that's, I would put a lot of that on this group of guys who run this thing called Samper Cafe. So Samper Cafe is like a monthly kind of drop-in joint where beat makers or like anyone just interested in beat making can come through. Like we've had like people just come off the street, be like, hey, what's going on? What y'all doing? Like, and they come in and like they're super welcome. They come see what's up. So like, yeah, a lot of time people like bring their machines or come try someone else's machine or just come hang out and vibe. Like I know like whenever I'm able to come drag myself out of the house, because I hate leaving the house, to be honest with you, it's a huge creative fill up for me just to be around these guys and like just talk beats or like music or even just like, what's up with your life, how are you doing, like how's the fam, you know? Like these guys are all very like mad selfless, and all they do is just try and prop up the community any way they can. Like as far as like even getting me to come out, like they just reach out to me just hearing me off of SoundCloud, knowing like I lived around here. And like when I came through once, like I was like, I don't know, I was uncomfortable. I didn't know nobody there, but like they were super welcoming, super nice dudes. Like I consider them all friends, like great, great guys. And like I'm super grateful for them for like stretching out that helping hand and being like, hey, like come hang out, bro. Like we like what you do, and like, yeah, super awesome guys. And they slowly been getting back to doing events. Obviously, COVID really shut it down like that, but. And they also been doing some like shows under the name Sampler Cafe too. So go peep them on IG at Sampler Cafe, all one word, and go peep them all individually too. All of them are mad talented, and I bugged every single one of them to put out beat tapes every time I see them. I'm not saying you should too, but I would be on your side if you did.
Yo, so what do you think about, you know, streaming and then the new tech? That's been coming out and emerging, such as like blockchain and, you know, crypto, and that merging to kind of like give power back to the artists to where they can monetize on their gifts. Like, what do you think about all that type of stuff?
I don't think it's necessarily that things like blockchain tech will be like some kind of savior for musicians and artists. Like, I've seen some people like kind of tout that, and like, I think it'll, like, yeah, I don't think it'll save us from things like art theft, like low streaming rates, but like, I think if the technology is refined, it could be a form of the solution or a part of the solution, you know? Like, in my opinion, streaming is obviously cheaper than like the actual music, and like, its monetary worth, like, a crazy amount. Like, it's devalued the actual like intellectual property of music. You know what I mean? So we as artists have to figure out a way to circumvent that if we want to make a living doing what we do. So things like selling directly to the consumer, personal connection are probably the best ways to do that, like in my mind. We see it a lot already with like some of the more savvy artists, things like streaming studio sessions. Like I know Knowledge does that all the time, selling limited run merch and like physical copies of the music. Like I know a lot of guys out in New York are doing like 20 tape runs and things like that. Like, and they're making money off of it. So they're doing something right. Things like that like bring your fans into your circle and make them feel like a part of something, you know, like they're part of a movement. So yeah, if Web3 and blockchain tech ever stop they ever stop being touted by like only tech bros and like can be adopted by like regular people without the current drawbacks of things like crazy amounts of energy consumption, I think it could be a part of the solution in the future. But I think we really got to stick to like, yeah, connecting directly with people. That's the only way we can really move forward as far as like making income streams, especially in like streaming times.
All right, yo, final question, man. Yo, this has been a very insightful interview, man. So I appreciate you doing this. So yo, Takedown, what should the internets be on the lookout for from you for the rest of 2022, you know, going into 2023, right? It's almost the end of August. We got September coming up, all October, November, December, you know what I mean? 4 months. Yo, we got 4 months left in this year, and then we into 2023, man. So what should we be on the lookout for from you? Singles, albums, collab projects, anything like that, man. And then, you know, go ahead and put in there like any final thoughts, man.
Man, I got a lot of music that I made over quote like COVID quarantine that I just never finished. I got, it's a couple hundred beats, I'm not gonna lie. So I got a lot of material in the chamber. So like on the conservative side, y'all are gonna get at least 2 tapes from me by the end of the year this year. Hopefully I'll get them hooked up with physical tape releases as well. Maybe get a little merch in there. No promises on that, but for sure, I'm hoping for physical tape releases. Tapping through my IG, that's where I'm most active, at Takedown, TKDWN, and my Bandcamp, which is takedown.bandcamp.com, and that's where you can buy all the music. So, like, on IG, I'm posting, like, beat videos, like, 3-4 times a week? 3 times a week, maybe. And Bandcamp, obviously, you can go buy all the music there. And if for whatever reason you can't afford to buy the music digitally, but you still want to listen, like send me a message and I'll hook you up, like IG DM or email or something. Like I never want the money to be a barrier between y'all and the music. If you have the money, please do, because you know, I need to eat. But I never want the money to stop y'all from like having the music, because I make it because I want y'all to have it. So yeah, I got you on that. Hey man, I just want to say thanks so much for like giving me this opportunity and like inviting me on the show. Like it means a lot to me that like someone out there like is interested enough in me and the music to be like, yo, come on the pod, like let's talk, let I want to hear your opinions on stuff. Like that means a lot to me, man. So I just want to say appreciate you, appreciate what you do. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah man, yo this has been episode number 61 with Takedown, man. Yo, I appreciate you for, and you know, allowing me to spotlight you and, you know, just put your story out there for people that are interested in the background story of beat makers. And you know what I mean, like, and not just, yeah, they making beats and you know that's it. Like get to know, you know what I mean, the artist, the beat maker behind the music. You know what I mean? Like this is my version of like, you know what I mean, VH1's like behind the music type joint, you know what I mean? But for hip hop and then for beat makers, you know what I mean? But anyway, yo, I really appreciate you, man. All love. I've been supporting you for a minute, since for like 2-3 years now, man. So, I'm already tapped into what you're doing. I'm excited for what you got coming out, and the listeners, man. I hope y'all are excited for what Takedown is about to put out as well. So tap into him on his socials, tap into his Bandcamp, man, takedown.bandcamp.com. Stream his music, like, you know, all that type of stuff, man. Show love that way. Hit him up on his socials, man. And yeah, that concludes this episode, this week's episode, man. Episode 61. Yo, next week, we got another dope one, man. We're going to keep it rolling all the way to the end of the year. This is season 2 for the Rec Show Podcast, man. And every single one of y'all that's listening, man, I appreciate you for tapping in and showing love on the socials and listening on your digital streaming platform, wherever you get podcasts from. And I just want to let you know I appreciate you, man. Make sure you count your blessings, not your problems. And we're going to see you next week on another episode of the Rec Show Podcast. All right? Peace and love, yo. Bye, 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 bye.
Like the NBA when you can retire. Like this is, you have to keep going.